hunting, one way they would want to get your attention through the commercial is that they use the phrase, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, this morning I want to encourage us to listen to someone greater than men like E.F. Hutton. I want us to listen to God, because God has spoken, and His Word needs to be carried forth throughout the whole world like it was in the first century. And so, simply this morning, I'd like to talk about God Speaks. And I want to take it from the text that was read from us, or read to us, rather, this morning, from Titus chapter 1 in verse 2, where the record says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." God spoke, and our faith and hope is based upon what God has spoken through His Word. Our hope is rest upon what God has said. For instance, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 5, the record says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Our hope is laid up in the Word of God, he says. You have heard before in the Word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel is the truth. And as children of God, our hope resides, or it rests upon God's Word. Not only that, but our faith is also residing upon what God has spoken through His Word. As we've said time and time again from the pulpit in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is produced in the heart of men when we accept what God has spoken to us from His Word. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, we learn from His Word that His grace has been provided. And if we accept that grace, we do so based upon what we've heard from the Scriptures. Because He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It's that faith again that is produced in the heart of men by what God has spoken. And He says in that, "Not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast." God's grace has been freely given. And this morning we have observed the grace of God in remembering what He has done for us in giving His Son. And so, our hope and faith is based upon what God has said from the Scriptures. So let's look at some things about which God has spoken this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, let me say that when God speaks, He speaks today exclusively in Jesus Christ. He doesn't speak through false teaching that clergymen or those who would teach something contrary to His law. He speaks directly to us from His Son. Being in the last days, in the last dispensation of time that God is dealing with men, and being in the last days, He speaks to us through His Son, as in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 would declare. And even in the old law, under that old Jewish law, even Moses, the lawgiver, would prophesy the fact that God would speak to another prophet, and that prophet being Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse 15, in verses 18 and 19, the record declares, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." God wanted man, when His Son came into the world, to listen to Him, just like in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, where Peter is before the Lord, and he sees Jesus conversing with Moses and Elijah. And God spoke, the Father spoke to Peter, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear Him." And so, even in the prophecy of Moses, the prophet, he says, "This prophet is coming. They need to hear him." And he went on to say, he says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." And it shall be whatever that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require of him. And then in the book of Acts, Paul, or Peter rather, would echo the things that Moses had said. And again, he gave an admonition, saying, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. God speaks, and he speaks through a son, and he wants us to listen to him. We need to give our attention to him. When we come to worship God, he wants us to worship him as he has directed in spirit and truth, and he wants us to listen in view of living according to what he has spoken from his word. Because salvation has been given in no other name. And so we need to listen to his son because salvation comes from him. There's not salvation in any other name, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 would say. It's only through the name of Christ that salvation is given. He is the Savior. And since he is the Savior that God had sent in the world, he demands that we listen to him. He has given his son all rule. And we need to respect that rule because God has exclusively spoken to us today through his word by his son. God speaks distinctively about the eternal purpose that he had planned in redeeming man. Just think about it. Before the foundations of the world, before God created the world, he had this plan. It is eternal. It's a plan to redeem man, the creation, those made in his image. And he brought this forth by revelation in the book of Ephesians, the reason why he brings this out. He said, to the intent that now the manifold, the many-sided wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This eternal plan would be set forth in motion through his son. And Peter talks about this in the first letter, in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He speaks about Christ. But was manifested in these last days for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, our hope and our faith is in God through his Son, in whom we're to listen to. God has spoken this. He has revealed his eternal purpose in the heavenly places to principalities and powers, letting them know through the church that eternal purpose. And we're a part of that if we're the children of God. And our faith and hope resides in that. In fact, Jesus says that through him we can be drawn to his Father on the conditions that are given in John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. The Lord said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, They shall all be taught by God. In other words, here he's talking about the Father drawing us to the Lord. And the way he does it is through what he has said. Again, they shall all be taught by God. To be taught, one has to speak. When we speak, we're teaching. We can teach also by example, but God is speaking through his word. And he says, if we're going to come to his son, we've got to listen to what he has to say. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the world may look at the wisdom of God as being foolish, as in the days of the Apostle Paul when he was writing to the brethren at Corinth. The wisdom of this world sees the will of God as being foolish. But thanks be to God that the foolishness that they would call God's word being foolish is the power of salvation of those who would accept what God has spoken in his word. And the Apostle Paul writes, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." Man cannot know God without having the wisdom of God being taught. They can't know God with their own wisdom. In fact, it seems like the wisdom of God is continuing to be in the same mold or set as it was in the days of Paul. The wisdom of man is contrary to the wisdom of God. Man's wisdom tends not to accept what God has said. And so he says it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe it. And so this message that the men of this world would call foolish is a message that saves those who will accept what God has spoken through His Word. And so there's going to be that division in the world where men fight against God and His Word because they think what has been spoken by God is foolish. And yet, to those who accept it, it is indeed the power of God which saves. So God speaks distinctively about that eternal purpose. It was in God's plan before man ever came in to be who they are. When God created man, this purpose was already set forth. And it was set forth through His Son, Jesus Christ. When God speaks, He speaks plainly for us to understand. In other words, His Word is not something that we cannot understand. As some may suggest, that we can't understand it. We need someone to guide us. Well, we need to be taught, and men need to teach us. But we can study. We have the ability to study. Again, as Eric brought out, our hearts are being renewed day by day. And it needs to be renewed by transformation that we're going to serve God as living sacrifices, that we may be holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so God's Word, though some things are hard for us to understand, we can understand His will for us, what He wants to accomplish in His life. The way of redemption is not hard to understand. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, Paul is addressing brethren who are divisive because of contentions. But he plainly says that they need to be unified. And that the standard to be unified is that they have the same mind and the same judgment. Well, how could they have that? But to study the Word of God and be of the same mindset, because God's Word is the same for all men. The way of salvation does not differ because of culture or because of race or because of other countries. It doesn't change for different kinds of people that's in the world. It's the same. And so he says that they need to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Well, what God says can do that. When Jesus prayed for unity to the Father, that all who believed in Him might be one, it can be accomplished to a proper understanding of what God has plainly said. We can understand what He said. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians that we can understand it. As the Word was being revealed to him in that day and time, he says, "How that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read." You see the responsibility? We need to read. We need to study. When you read what has been revealed to me, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we have the ability to understand it if we will to. We can know God's will. We can understand it. In fact, it's a command. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Again, Paul speaking to the brethren of Ephesus. We can understand it because God's Word is plain in regards to how we can be right before Him. And again, Peter would say there are some things that the Apostle Paul had written that are things that we need to give more attention to in our study, that we may come to a better understanding. Yeah, there are difficult things in there, that and some things that we may not be able to explain as well as we could. But when it comes again to being right before God, God has made it plain for us to understand. And so when He speaks through His Word, we need to listen in view of understanding it. As the prophet Hosea talked about in chapter 6 and verse 4, God's people, even His people, did not use the knowledge that they had. In fact, they were lacking in. And He says, my people are being destroyed for a lack of understanding. Was that God's fault? No. God says we can understand Him. When He lays out laws, the laws that He provides for us to keep, they're not hard to understand. And if we truly love His will by what He says, then we act upon it. And we need to respect the foundation that God has set forth through His Son, because there's only one. There's only one foundation, and we need to be assured of the fact that we understand what that foundation is or who that foundation is. As Paul would say, for no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's laid the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone of the church that He purchased with His own blood, which is God's kingdom, in whom He has all authority as head of that body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, again the record says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice, first of all, that Christ's word, the words of Christ, is described as simplistic. That is, it's easy for us to grasp what He's saying. But we can allow Satan to deceive us like he was when sin entered into the world. Satan is our adversary. We need to be very vigilant, knowing that he is very crafty. He's conniving. He's deceptive. All lies reside with him. He's the father of all lies. But he can disrupt us in maybe thinking contrary to the simplicity of the Word of God. And so, we need to understand what God has spoken. And we can. When we have a mindset to know what God's will is for us, and that we have a determination, a will, to want to please God in our way of living. When God speaks, He speaks truthfully to the things that we can believe in. Again, in our text, the record says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We can put our trust in what God said. What God has said is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. God cannot lie, and so we can rest assured that what God has said and what we do, that God will carry forth. Like the Apostle Paul was. He was persuaded that God was able to keep that which He had committed unto him against that day. God's word is reliable. And when He speaks, it's always the truth. And we can take that to heart and have that confidence in His word. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's His character. His words are pure, they're true, they're right, and there's no darkness in God. And it's manifested in the Son. His Son had no spot or blemish, and He was the perfect sacrifice that we might be cleansed from our sins. And so, He speaks truthfully, and we can believe what He says through His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the record says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's Word is truthful, and it's efficient to guide us in this walk of life that we're leading. As children of God, we can look in His Word and we can know how to live our lives godly. As we have gone through a course of lessons last week, through the preaching of Eric, he was showing us through the Word that God is holy and His people are to be holy. And we had good lessons about how we go about that and to maintain that and how we can obtain that through the Word of God. That we may have those precious promises that God has promised. And they're true. And we can accept that. Just like Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Can you imagine a man being told to take his only son and sacrifice him? Well, that's what Abraham did. Why did he do that? Because he relied upon God's Word. He understood that God could raise that son from the dead, as the writer of Hebrews would point out. He knew that he could raise his son, even though he'd been put to death. God told him up to offer him. And we see the example of his unwavering faith. And we can have that faith, kind of faith as well. So when he speaks truthfully that we may believe him. Accept his word for what it is. And when he speaks to our spirits, given hope of eternal life. In fact, the record says that he is the Father of spirits in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. He says, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Not only is he the Father of all spirits, that we are made in his image or his offspring, but we can give him our spirits. In fact, when our spirit leaves the body, the preacher would say in the book of Ecclesiastes, well, our body, the flesh, the body, the flesh, is going to corrupt. It's going to go back from the dust to which it came from, which God formed and breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. But that spirit, that which is made in God's image, goes back to God to be judged for eternity, to dwell in eternity. And he says he's the Father of spirits and life. And since he is, we need to listen to him. He is our Creator. He created us for his purpose. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, as he was speaking about the world being destroyed again when the Lord comes again, he says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. We can have this hope burning in us by our faith in what God has said, and our spirits that belong to God can be with Him forever. That's God's promise. Because He is the Father of spirits. He is the Creator. He is the one that has given us life. And He wants our life to manifest a godly way of life in this life. Knowing that we need a Savior, He's provided that Savior. And He wants our spirits to dwell with Him forever. And so what He has spoken from His Word is beneficial to us. If we take it to heart, if we listen to Him, and if we cultivate a true love in serving Him. And again, we can rest assured that everything that He said will come to what to serve His purpose. And He says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Children of God had this hope. They've listened to what God has said. They've obeyed the gospel from the heart, and so we have this hope. based upon a trusting faith that relies upon God's Word, which stands. It's sure. It's reliable. And he says it's a hope that is like an anchor of the soul. It is as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Why? Because it rests upon what God has said. And so, these are some things that God has spoken. So I ask the question then, will we simply listen and obey to what He has said? That's what God desires for us to do. We need to evaluate ourselves and see if not that we're truly listening to God. You know, Eric talked a little bit about it's our responsibility to study God's Word. To study God's Word is to know, to strengthen our faith. And if we're not doing this, if we're not living as to know what God says, then we're not glorifying God, we're not helping ourselves, we're not putting our trust in His Word. God wants us to listen to what He says. He doesn't speak to us in a voice in our minds. He speaks to us from His Word. His Word has been spoken. It's laid out for us. The New Testament is our standard. The Old is written for our learning. It's both useful and needful in our lives, but our guide is what Jesus has said, and that's the doctrine of Christ. And what He says is, if you're not a child of God, you can be. That's the promise that God has given. And if you're in the audience this morning and you're not a child of God, you can be. Listen to what God has said through His Word. Believe the facts of the gospel that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And upon that faith, turn from your sins and repentance. Confess the Lord this morning if you're willing to obey that gospel and be baptized for the remission of your sin. That's what God has spoken. That's how we become children of God. And when we do that, we're added to the body of Christ, the church of our Lord, which began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. If you've listened to God in times past, you've obeyed that gospel, what you've heard from God's Word, but you've fallen away. You've gone away by the wayside. Return to Him. Again, listen to Him. Study His Word. Let Him speak to you through the Word, and let Him mold you again by repentance and confession and prayer that your heart might be forgiven. Whatever it is, don't let that hinder your race to be with God. Take whatever weight that's upon you and cast it aside and run the race that's set before us. If we can help you in any way to respond to the gospel this morning, would you indicate it by coming to the front while together we stand and sing?